Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. A serious new emergency developed this morning at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant near Harrisburg. Richard Wagner reports from the Pennsylvania State Capitol.
Authorities here are saying that there's been an uncontrolled release of radiation from the Three Mile Island nuclear facility, but details are, at this moment, still unclear. A spokesman for the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency said the level of radiation is substantial enough to cause concern, but not substantial enough to order an immediate evacuation of the area. A four-county region, however, has been placed on alert. The spokesman said it's not known right now whether the radiation release was transient or if it's going on continuously. He would not say what the exact level of the radiation is, but did say it was not at the level of a full Rontgen. It's apparently somewhere on the order of a significant fraction of a Rontgen. Finally, the spokesman also said he didn't know if the release of radiation was from the damaged reactor or the auxiliary building. But he said the Department of Environmental Resources is checking, and more details are expected soon. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Harrisburg.
Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburgh now says he is considering evacuating the four-county area surrounding the nuclear plant because of the new release of radiation. Authorities in Boston today think they have their man. At the very least, they have a suspect in custody in connection with this week's hotel fires. Chuck Krause of CBS radio station WEEI has details.
Boston police and fire officials spent Thursday looking for whoever set the two big fires at the Sheraton Boston and Copley Plaza hotels, thankful that a major tragedy had been averted. Of nearly 2,000 people evacuated and more than 60 hurt, only 13 were still in the hospital by the end of the day, and only two were listed as serious. Another stroke of luck came early in the evening when a detective came into information that an 18-year-old man who'd been fired from kitchen jobs in both hotels might be their man. 2 hours later, Julio Rodriguez of Boston was picked up at the Greyhound bus station, a ticket to New York in his possession. He's to be arraigned on a pair of arson charges this morning. With that arrest, Police Captain James McDonald says the case is closed and offers Bostonians and visitors to the city assurances they need not fear that such a thing is likely to happen again. Chuck Krause for CBS News, Boston.
A Quebec Air turboprop passenger plane caught fire last night just after taking off from Quebec City on a flight to Montreal. The plane circled the airport twice, tried to make an emergency landing, then crashed in a field less than a mile from the runway. 16 people were killed, 8 seriously injured. Uganda's president for life, Idi Amin, this morning appears on the verge of being a president without a country, or at least without an army. Thousands of invading Tanzanian troops are said to be massing on the outskirts of Kampala, the Ugandan capital. Reports reaching Nairobi, Kenya, say Amin's forces in Kampala have disintegrated, and observers there believe Kampala will surrender within hours. As for Amin, after urging his men to stand and fight, he is said to have taken refuge in a remote township. His only hope appears to be intervention from Libya, and he does seem to be getting that. Libyan troops are said to be making a stand against the Tanzanians near Kampala, and Tanzania charges that a Libyan supersonic bomber, built by the Russians, attacked a northern town last night. A nationwide referendum is underway this morning in Iran. We'll hear about it from Bill Plant.
Iranians went to the polls today for the second referendum in their nation's history. In Tehran, at least, the turnout appeared to be heavy. But in some other parts of the country, there were reports that the referendum was being ignored. In one case, in the Turkoman city of Gonbad Kavus, where fighting has raged for 5 days between the government and members of the Turkoman minority, there was no attempt to hold the referendum today. The ballot asks for a yes or no vote on the question of establishing an Islamic Republic in Iran. And at the polling stations we observed, the ballot boxes were out in the open, so that it was relatively easy to see whether a voter was depositing the green coupon to vote yes or the red coupon to vote no. The voting will extend over a 2-day period because of the remoteness of some parts of the country, and the government is expecting a turnout of about 12 million, or about 60% of the eligible voters. Bill Plant, CBS News, Tehran.
The Shah of Iran, the Empress, and their 4 children left Rabat, Morocco this morning in a private plane. An official source in Rabat says they're going to the Bahamas, where they plan to settle. The Shah has been in exile since January 22nd. The Arab League conference in Baghdad is in recess this morning, and Hal Walker reports that this is giving the foreign and economic ministers in attendance time to consult with their respective heads of state in hopes that the present impasse at the conference can be broken.
Iraq's foreign minister, Dr. Saladin Hamadi, chairman of the conference, confirmed that the breach between hardline and moderate Arabs was so wide that no progress could be made toward the conference's goal of punishing Egypt for its settlement with Israel. Hardliners led by the Palestine Liberation Organization want the harshest sanctions imposed against Egypt, a cutoff of financial aid and oil embargo, and a total boycott of the country. They also want the embargo and boycott extended to include the United States. Moderates who support Saudi Arabia say they will go only as far as the mandates of last November's summit conference: expulsion of Egypt from the Arab League and suspension of trade with Egyptian firms. The PLO led a walkout of the hardliners on Wednesday, and though they returned to the conference table on Thursday, no progress was made. The meeting will be reconvened this evening in a last-ditch effort to bring about some semblance of Arab unity. Al Walker, CBS News, Baghdad.
Egyptian President Sadat has been busy in Bonn for the past couple of days, looking for aid there in light of the peace treaty with Israel. Don Kladstrup tells us about that.
Sadat apparently has received assurances that West Germany will continue to provide economic and political support to his country. The promises reportedly were given by Chancellor Helmut Schmidt during 3 hours of talks between the two leaders last night. Financial figures were not disclosed, but West Germany already provides Egypt with $210 million in aid annually. Sadat would like more, for unless he can prove to his countrymen that peace with Israel will mean a better future, support of the treaty among Egyptians may weaken. The Bonn government reportedly is prepared to provide substantial help to Egypt, but wants to make any additional aid available through a larger action involving common market nations or other Western allies. That may take some doing, since France and Japan, unlike West Germany, have been reluctant to wholeheartedly endorse the peace treaty for fear of offending those Arab nations they depend on for oil. President Sadat, meanwhile, will spend most of his final day in West Germany just relaxing. He returns home to Cairo tomorrow. Don Kladstrup, CBS News, Bonn.
The Israeli Army Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Rafael Eitan, reportedly has warned senior officers that the peace treaty with Egypt may lead to increased and better organized moves by Palestinian guerrillas to launch attacks inside Israel. Eitan is quoted as saying, "Anybody who thinks we have solved all our problems by this treaty is exaggerating. It may be," he adds, "that the problems are only now beginning," and he means both military and political problems. Great Britain this morning is in the early stages of its nationwide election campaign. Mike Lee has the story in London.
Labour Party Prime Minister James Callaghan doesn't officially begin campaigning for political survival until April the 9th. But election fever has already caught on here, and early indications are the Prime Minister has an uphill battle on his hands to prevent Tory leader Margaret Thatcher from taking his job away. Ironically, the first bruise has come from a third party, the Liberals, last night scored a stunning upset over Callaghan's Labour machine in a by-election for a single Parliament seat in the Beatles' old hometown of Liverpool. The Tories didn't do very well in Liverpool either, but Mrs. Thatcher can't be feeling too badly because three separate public opinion surveys show her with an average 11% popularity lead. The Tories will probably need only a 4% increase in their current voter strength to win. Callaghan went on nationwide TV last night with a fatherly piece of advice to voters. "It isn't really sensible," he said, "to tear everything up by the roots by voting conservative." Mrs. Thatcher says, "My troops are ready." Mike Lee, CBS News, London.
There was an explosion today in the courtyard just outside the House of Commons, and police say a member of Parliament was seriously injured. The explosion was apparently caused by a car bomb. The price of gold declined more than a dollar an ounce today in London, and it was down 50 cents in Zurich. The U.S. dollar is holding firm against most of the European currencies, and it went up about a half a yen today in Tokyo. Negotiations in Washington between the Teamsters Union and the trucking industry have taken a hopeful turn, and there now seems to be a fairly good chance that agreement on a new contract may be reached before the deadline, which comes tomorrow midnight.